Our two scripture lessons this morning share a common theme. And in this common theme, there is a thread of this idea of shifting, of reordering. And notice how Jesus seeks to try to teach the Pharisees, the scribes, his hearers, how this thread is woven throughout the gospel and the work of Christ. We read from Mark chapter 7. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they thoroughly washed their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many traditions they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" And we read from Luke chapter 5. He told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst, and the skins will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking the old wine, desires the new wine, but says the old is good." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I want you to consider a fundamental truth about life. Whether it's our health, our jobs, our family, our friends, business, faith, just about everything in life goes through a reordering of things. Now, hopefully not all at once, but at some point in your life, every single one of these things will go through a reordering. And as I thought about this recently, I looked at my 10-year-old son watching a movie. And I said to him, "Son, do you know there was a day when you actually had to go to a store to rent a movie?" And he looked at me and he said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, you had to drive to this store called Blockbuster Video. And at Blockbuster, there were walls and walls of videos in these boxes, and you hoped that the movie that you wanted, which was probably a new release, was still there, but there were walls and walls of videos that you didn't want to watch. And hopefully you didn't have to." And I started to explain to him that there were these things called VHS tapes, pieces of plastic that held film that were read by these VHS machines. And you had to have this machine, and you had to go rent and physically get a tape to watch a movie rental. And then 2 days later, you had to return it. And I said, "You better be sure that you had a rewinder." And he said, "Well, what's a rewinder?" And I said, "Well, a rewinder was this device that you had to have that rewound the film back to the beginning of the movie without breaking your VHS player." And he was shocked. He said, "What do you mean you have to rewind a movie? You just turn on the movie and it's done. You don't have to rewind anything." And he was absolutely beside himself at this concept. And he said, "How could people live like this?" That movies were not an instant download. And I said, "Son, that's how people lived for decades." And as I looked at my son, and as I explained this process of movie rental, looking at the shock on his face and, dare I say, disbelief, was his dad playing a joke on him? Did people really have to go to a store to rent a movie? Was there ever really such a thing? Now, we all know that there can't go to a Blockbuster Video anymore to rent a movie, and that we have cable boxes and computers and Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that. But there is one Blockbuster Video store still in existence in Fairbanks, Alaska. So if you want to go back to the 80s and 90s, Fairbanks, folks, that's where you want to go. But as I said, all things in life, in our lives, whether it's our health or our job or family or friends or business or faith or video rentals, just about everything in our life, all of us, at some point, these things will be reordered in our lives. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus introduces this concept of reordering of life to the Pharisees. Now, usually in the Bible, the Pharisees get a bad rap. The Pharisees believe that in their purity and in their piety, sometimes taken to extreme levels, would bring them closer to God. Some of these beliefs filter down the generations through religious teaching. And the Pharisees asked Jesus, why is it that his followers do not follow in the tradition of the Jewish elders? Now, it's important to note here a distinction. In doing this, Jesus was not breaking the law of Moses. That would be a sin. However, Jesus sought to elevate a general conceptual teaching of what it meant to be clean, what it meant to be holy or close to God, in the ritual sense, by downplaying the need to follow tradition. For the Pharisees, this reordering of their religious life was absolutely incompatible in their way to live life. To the Pharisees, they held the true and pure way to God. However, what occurred in the days of Jesus and through his ministry is that their pattern of religious stability often translated into extremely strict and hypocritical interpretation of Judaism. The problem is, for the Pharisees, they're stuck. Jesus attempts to enlighten their spiritual sensibilities. They cannot believe or even fathom that God could be reordering their spiritual lives. If Pharisees existed in the time of the end of Blockbuster Video, they probably would have lost their minds at all the change going on. Something similar happens to us in life, in our spiritual lives. All of us go through a reordering of things, a reordering of our lives, and we get stuck because where something once was is now no longer, and there's something else in that place. We get stuck because emotionally, spiritually, mentally, we're unable to see the presence in a different way than we see our past. We live into the present, and sometimes we struggle. We struggle with very horrible experiences, maybe even abusive or shocking or harmful, and we look to God and we say, why, God? How? Where are you? And we become stuck. Stuck between what has happened and stuck between what could happen. We are stuck in the middle and we find ourselves in depression and addiction and dysfunction and anxiety, and we're stuck into an existence that's completely foreign to what we've experienced. And we become spiritually broken people, spiritually wounded people. It was most likely probably painful for the Pharisees to be challenged by Jesus' teaching because they were stuck. They were stuck into believing that God could never do something new in their lives. They were stuck because Jesus showed them a path of abundance and they refused to see that new spiritual reality that God was laying before them. We become stuck because we are mourning what has passed or is no longer in our life. and knowing that something can take its place. Christian author and theologian Walter Brueggemann frames this in the most wonderful way, this reordering. Brueggemann writes that in our life, in our spiritual lives, we go through a three-movement pattern. He frames it like this: that we go through a time when we are being securely oriented, period of safety. Then we go through a time in our life when we are painfully disoriented by something in our lives. But then we go through a third phase. It's that we go through a time in which we are being surprisingly reordered. Now, if you can't remember that, I've simplified it in the title of my message in the bulletin: oriented, disoriented, and reoriented. Or if you're like me, you really have a hard time remembering these things, so you need an acronym. So if you want to remind it really easy way, just remember it as ODR. All of us go through this ODR three-phase cycle. In small ways in our life, in large ways in our life, in really subtle ways, and in dramatic ways. And we encounter this pattern with God. We encounter this pattern within ourselves. We encounter this pattern with others, and we encounter this pattern with the world around us. This past week, I reflected on someone who went through an extreme ODR in their life. As probably all of us know, Senator John McCain passed away and was laid to rest this weekend. And no matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or you don't have a political affiliation, I think one thing we can agree on, if we look at the span and the biography of John McCain's life, was that he lived a unique life. A son of a Navy admiral, McCain graduated almost dead last in his graduating class at the Naval Academy. And he was a Navy pilot, and he admits that he wasn't always a great pilot because he crashed many planes, and he was shot down in Vietnam. And because of being shot down, he was injured and tortured, had bones broken, and he spent over 5 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam. Now, many may not know that what got him through that time was his faith in God. While in solitary confinement, McCain writes in his biography that he was left one night with his arms tied behind his back in a very painful position. And one night, a guard walked in and loosened the ropes so that he could have a period of several hours with a break. And then without a word, the guard came back in and tightened the ropes. And 2 months later, on Christmas Day, McCain was allowed to be outside for 10 minutes in a courtyard. And a guard, the same guard that had loosened his restraints, stood beside him. And with his foot in the dirt, the guard drew the symbol of a cross, as to say, "I'm a believer too." And then with the sandal, the guard pushed the dirt aside to make sure that no other guards would see the cross or what he had done. It was a message for McCain that in the period of his confinement, he was not alone and that God was with him, even in the presence of his enemy. McCain went on to say that that day, he never forgot that man. He never forgot that moment because that was the moment that he had found hope in some of the worst moments of his life. Later, religious observers would say McCain was a man of quiet faith, but the experience of being a POW had changed him. And as McCain describes it, it changed him for the better. If you know the rest of his story, you know he came home broken and wounded and deeply impacted by his period as a prisoner of war. And in many ways, his naval career was over because much of his injuries did not allow him to continue in a naval career. But he didn't let the wounds of war dictate his future. McCain went through several years of painful physical therapy And in recovery, he knew he couldn't stay in the Navy, and he decided to embrace a surprising new reorientation in his life. That after finishing at the bottom of his class in the Naval Academy and being tortured as a prisoner of war, he went on to be a congressman, a senator, a presidential candidate, and a grandparent. Now, no matter what you think of John McCain politically, you have to take note of someone who didn't let his 5 years of captivity, awful conditions, abuse, hold him back from seeing what the future could bring, and how his faith and how God helped him, even in the most painful times. McCain certainly experienced what Brueggemann described, that all of us go through a period in which we are being securely oriented, being painfully disoriented, but then being surprisingly reoriented. Now, you don't have to be a prisoner of war to experience that. But sometimes you and I may feel like a prisoner to life, whether it be losing a job, having conflict in your marriage, disappointment, maybe you didn't get that promotion you wanted or that award that you deserved, or maybe you have illness or health problems. That whatever you're going through, we can begin to see a pattern that emerges. In life, we can't go to Blockbuster Video anymore and rent a VHS tape and expect to put that into our Blu-ray player and expect to make that work. So why do we do the spiritual equivalent in life? Perhaps this is why Jesus told us that we cannot try to put new wine into old wineskins. The process of making wine in antiquity required that you couldn't use an old container to make new wine. I've always liked this imagery of Jesus in understanding life. So you cannot try to make the reality of our present to think that it will work with our past. And it's not that the past or the old is bad, it's just that. It's in the past. It's no longer there. We are painfully disoriented because our life, our past fixes and solutions are not working. And that's what the Pharisees couldn't understand. Jesus was changing the container of life. And the Pharisees, they weren't interested in the container of life to change. And so they fell back on the comfort zones and the traditions that they knew. Jesus was teaching them that life is not all about comfort zones and old wineskins, that we are taught that we need to be able to create new containers in life. As our life grows, we must structure it and build it in new ways so that we can put our current life and our future life in there. As I've shared with the congregation this summer that I'm currently going through and recovering from a third bout with Lyme disease, and I shared with the congregation earlier this summer how I went through a period of being securely oriented and then experienced a period of disorientation. And God and I, we had some long chats, sharing my fears, my sadness, my grief. And so I learned this summer that I too had to seek out, as Jesus taught, new ways of operating and to build a new container for my life. It was in those moments of pain and fear that I discovered what happens when you face new challenges with old patterns. That is to say that I didn't change my faith or my religion, but I had to find myself structuring my new container of life with new prayers, new places for reflection, new relationship, new patterns, trying new directions, a new way to relate to God. And I was surprisingly reoriented through the pain and difficulty and illness with the help of friends and folks in this congregation. It's in the moments of pain that God does God's best work. It's not that God desires that we go through pain, but God uses the moment to do something new. Even when we're at our most vulnerable, God takes that moment and begins building a new container for us to fit in our life. In our lives, our spiritual lives are not about staying the same, but our lives, our spiritual lives are dynamic and fluid and taking new shapes of growth and love and forgiveness in relationship to God and to other people. So today I ask you, where are you in your threefold cycle? Securely oriented, painfully disoriented, surprisingly reoriented? If you find yourself feeling securely oriented, know that there are people here and people around you in your life that need your stability, and they need you to walk with them through their pain and their disorientation. If you find yourself today being painfully disoriented, fear not, because you are never alone. A new path is unfolding, and God is with you, and people in this place are here to walk with you. If you find yourself being surprisingly reoriented, look back at your path. See how your spiritual container has changed. See how God has brought you into a new future. Wherever you are in this reorientation, remember Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, a plan to give you hope and a future." Let us pray. Lord, we confess that there are times in our life that we throw up our hands and we say, "God, what is going on?" That, God, we have trouble with our employment, we have trouble in our marriages or friendships in life or disease or illness. And we say, "God, what is happening?" Lord, in those moments, help us to see this threefold reorganizing of life that we all go through. That sometimes we must depart from a period of being securely oriented, and we find ourselves in such a way that we are painfully disoriented. And God, we confess that it hurts. And so we ask you in your grace and love to be a presence that, God, even though it's painful, help us begin to build a new container, a new wineskin, so that we may be putting the new wine of life into that. And God, help us that after a period of being painfully disoriented, God, we ask that you will surprise us with new wonder, a new path, a new road, a new opportunity, that God, even in we feel imprisoned in life, that God, you can do a new thing. Help us to have the courage to take a new direction, whether it is a new job, new opportunity, a new friendship, a new way to connect with you. God, give us the courage to go down this road. Walk with us in this challenge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.